And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Like covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, y'all, Alabama. And I mean, this show goes like, way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. By the way, I want to remind you guys, the latest episode of the Right Philosophy podcast is now out. You can find it on our website. Building a brand spanking new YouTube channel that is underway as we speak. But for now, you can stream them all on the website anyway, rightsideradio.org. Rightsideradio.org. Go to the podcast tab. You got the podcast for the show itself, and you've also got now the Right Philosophy. It's a video podcast. I film it from my house. Picture the kind of things like you hear in my monologue. Each one's about 10 minutes long, but we're pretty stoked about it and really, really pleased with the production and the team putting things together here. So anyway, Right Side Media is who we are, so we're a lot more than radio, just saying. But check out the Right Philosophy podcast. It is up now for you to see. All right, so we're in number one of the Triple Dipper. Trump's trials and errors. So it's unbelievable to me. I mean, this lawfare that we're watching is like nothing we've ever seen before. I mean, I have known of people like I can think of just, you know, in my own practice, which is, you know, just a good old regular town practice. And I've got great clients, and a lot of my clients are recurring clients, and I do the things that are necessary to help their businesses, or, you know, I assist them with one thing and then later on they come back because they got something else. Well, you know, more than once I've had a client, you know, I had one who left somewhat disgruntled because he felt like the case wasn't moving fast enough. And I said, you realize I don't set the judge's agenda. Well, I just felt like it could have moved faster. Okay. By the way, you realize this is also like the fifth case I've had for you, and the central figure in all your own cases is you. So just something to think about. Well, I say that looking at Trump's situation. Maybe in some way Trump is the central figure in all these cases. I get it. He is. But I also look at the fact that I think what's really the central figure, the central figure in all of these cases, is a get Trump mentality. Now, we may find that, let me rephrase. If there was, I sound like I'm in court right now. Let me rephrase. I'll withdraw the question. So strike that. I'm just going to keep on going here with all my lingo. But if there were one, like, let's say that, I don't know. I mean, I can't stand the whole Fannie Willis. I can't stand Fannie Willis, but I can't stand the way the Fannie Willis thing has developed. But let's say that was the only one. We'd all be going, wow, what do you think? I don't know. I'd be watching. Wow. I mean, he did make some calls, right, during the election. Could that really be a crime? I don't know. We'd be watching it. But it's like the little boy that cried wolf. At some point, you look around going, we got that one over there and 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 that one over there. And oh, by the way, that one over there. And every single one of them is being led by a partisan Democrat, some of whom ran for office on the goal of, I will get Trump if you'll elect me. And you have to look at it and go, no, you guys have destroyed your own credibility. I mean, now, granted, each courtroom stands alone, right? But we on the outside can take them all in their totality. We can look at the entire scenario of Trump's legal problems right now, because whether he caused them or not, they're still legal problems. More than once, I had to tell a client, yes, I understand that you didn't do this, and we're going to have to now work your way out of it no matter what. Sometimes people sue and you have to fight to prove your innocence. That's just the way the system works. And it's unfortunate, but it's true. However, what we're watching right now is without comparison. There is nothing out there with which we can say, oh yeah, well, I mean, you remember that time when this happened to so-and-so or that happened to that, you know, other leader? And nobody's gone through this like this. And don't tell me it wasn't targeted. I mean, some of this stuff, they waited 2 years. Now, maybe they had an investigation. Okay, they had an investigation. Did they really? Did they? Did Alvin Bragg really have to investigate for 2 years? and then bring it, oh, by the way, right after Trump announced he was running for office, did Fannie Willis really, really have to wait 2 years? And did it take that long for the grand jury that she, you know, and the old saying, you can indict a ham sandwich in a grand jury. I mean, it's there are some aspects of that that are true. The rules of evidence are different than a grand jury. You can say things, you can intone things, you can imply things, you can present things in a different way. The admissibility rules don't apply the same way in a grand jury. So more comes in and more gets said and more gets implied in a grand jury than you would not normally have. And so, yes, you can indict a ham sandwich in a grand jury. But did they all have to wait till Trump had declared he was running for office? And the answer to that is probably no. But they did. That's funny. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Wasn't Fannie Willis's lover boy? Wasn't he making trips to the White House at one point? I believe he was. Why would that be? I don't know. I mean, surely he wasn't like in a coordination meeting, was he? Go figure. Well, today, here's where we are. All right. As of today, like just before the show started, the trial has basically concluded. The Alvin Bragg trial up in New York. The trial has concluded. Just a couple of days ago, the prosecution rested. They're done. The prosecution has put on its case in chief. It is done. There is nothing left for it to present. So the prosecution announced they had rested. And then the defense called only two witnesses. And then the defense rested. Trump is not going to testify. That's already a given now. The defense has now rested officially. And it has been made clear that Trump is not going to testify, which, you know, in a criminal proceeding, he has a Fifth Amendment right not to incriminate himself and have to give testimony against himself. But once he gets on the stand, it's fair game. And they knew that. And they also knew that it would be a spectacle and they would make a spectacle. They would salaciously enjoy it. Every, you know, courtroom artist would be like drawing the mean images of the orange man sitting on the stand. Oh, and so they just avoided that whole debacle. And I think that was the right move. I rarely is it a good idea for a defendant in a criminal proceeding to testify in their own proceeding. However, what they're doing right now is called a charge conference. So you may have seen a few things. They're talking about jury instructions right now. This is called a charge conference. The way this works is the judge is required to charge the jury with the law that governs their decision making. Let me just think of one. Like in a civil proceeding, he may charge the jury that if there was a contract, if you determined that there was in fact a contract between the parties, and that one party chose to, and then they begin to describe that there was consideration that passed between the parties and that one chose to violate their duties under the contract that you may then find breach. So the judge will actually read the law to them. And there are what they call pattern jury instructions. For those who aren't familiar, there's a book out there. These are the ones that are considered already acceptable. Now, more than once, I have gone to a jury trial and I've researched the law and I've found a case that says exactly what I believe should be said. And I'll write my own jury instruction. And I'll have like 15 pattern jury instructions, and I'll have three that come from that case that I think are super important and they're good law. And then I have to go to the charge conference and the judge will go, all right, does everybody agree on pattern jury instructions number 1 through 7? Everybody agree? All right, those will be given. How about number 9? Judge, we object to that one. Why do you object? Well, here's the yada, yada, yada. And you debate just like you would a motion. And then you get down to the ones that are not necessarily patterned, they're not necessarily in the book. They're the ones that you look at and go, Judge, look, I've got a case right here, Your Honor. This is precedent. It's only a year old. It didn't have time to even make it into the pattern jury instructions. And Your Honor, I believe this case is literally on point. And so I'm asking you, Judge, here's a copy of the case so you can see where I took it. And if you look in paragraph 19, you'll see that it says this. And I believe that ruling that was determined in that case needs to be read to the jury. And I have had that work, and I've had it not work. That whole charge conference is happening right now. The judge has dismissed the jury until after next Monday, because Monday's a holiday. So the jury is going to get a 3-day weekend. The lawyers are probably going to be working through the weekend, preparing their closing statements. But they're going to come back next week, and here's the other thing. What's the judge going to do about the case? So they're going to go through the motions right now. Between today and tomorrow, they're having their charge conference. They'll decide what the law will be. That the judge will actually say, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I now charge you with the following statements of the law. And he'll very formally read those, and he'll read them into the record. And y'all, you can appeal a case on somebody not charged. You can literally register your objection. Your Honor, we'd like to register our objection to the fact that you did not read pattern jury instruction number 3. Duly noted. Overruled. You can appeal a case on the law not being read to the jury the right way. But then, here's the thing. A directed verdict. What is that? That's where a judge can look and determine that there is no, in a civil case, you might even say, no genuine issue of material fact left to be determined that would lend to a verdict having to be rendered by the jury. Meaning the judge can look at it and say, as a matter of law, I am determining now that the prosecution did not make their case. They did not prove the elements of the crime. Their case was so full of holes, there ain't no way in God's green earth you could stand under it in a good rain and not get wet. Bottom line is this. The judge can, upon motion of Trump's team, which they've already moved, upon motion of Trump's team, the judge can throw the whole case out. He can determine that there's no need to go to the jury because the elements from a purely law. See, the jury, and I know I'm getting way in the weeds here, but here's the thing. The jury are called the arbiters of the fact. They examine the facts and compare those to the law. The judge is the arbiter of the law. And if the judge determines that the law has not been met, then the judge can say, you know what? I hereby find in favor of the defendant because the prosecution has failed to meet its burden. That could happen. Now, it's Judge Mershon. And Judge Mershon has been no friend to the Trump team. Not that he's supposed to be a friend, but you know what I'm saying. He's not supposed to be buddies with anybody. But dang, he has made it impossible for the Trump team sometimes. Slapping gag orders. All God's children are allowed to talk about Trump. Trump can't talk about any of them. We'll see. Here's the bottom line. There are, in fact, grounds upon which you could imagine that an impartial judge may say, next week, we're not even going to the jury, gentlemen. I hereby rule in favor of the defendant. That could happen. And if it does, it'll be a landmark moment. If it goes to the jury, then we wait and see. Then they pick a foreman. Then they go through the machinations of reviewing all the evidence. They can send out their questions in writing and ask the judge for just a quick understanding of certain things. They want to see certain exhibits again. All this could, and they could be in deliberations for a week. But they have to find, beyond a reasonable doubt, that the elements of the crimes have been committed. And that's where we stand as of today. When we get back, I'm going to give you a few more things to think about. Yeah. Man, kick that music in, brother. Wearing my headphones about came out of my chair. Phil Williams. Right Side Radio, Trump Trials and Errors, giving you the full breakdown. You're going to know how to explain this case to everybody. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like making common sense like a superpower up in here. So a couple of texts real quick. John from Harvest says, there are precedents for this case. Most of them can be found in the records of the old Soviet Union. That's really not funny, but yes, that is. Okay, thank you, John. Gary from Decatur says, pretty optimistic, Phil, for a judge that wouldn't allow an expert on federal election law to testify for the defense. I'm not saying I'm overly optimistic. I'm very pragmatic. I'm saying that's the procedure place that we're in, though. And I do believe there are ample grounds right now for the judge to actually grant a directed verdict. I don't know that he will. In fact, part of me just believes that he's going to let it go to the jury no matter what, because then it's him being, maybe he would be appealed, but then at that point, the one who made the decision, because keep in mind, Mershon's got to live with whatever happens. If Mershon makes a ruling in favor of Trump, he's probably going to get a ration. Just so you're saying, the liberal base is going to go freaking out They probably have death threats and doxing his house and everything else. It's just, you know, good for the love. Jeff from Indiana texted in, says, Phil, the judicial system only works if the judges and the prosecutors are not corrupt. And I believe it's more than clear the prosecutor and the judge in this case are doing this to Trump out of malice and election tampering, not out of anything that's lawful. I am not arguing that, especially the prosecutor. This be very clear. He ran for office on the idea of getting Trump. I mean, he took a case that he had to craft novel theories of law that had never been tried before in this manner. He had to try and create a misdemeanor. Think about this. This is the prosecutor who lets violent criminals walk without bond on the same day they're arrested for violent crimes. But he's going to try President Trump on misdemeanors and then try to wire work them into a federal, not a state. He's a state. Remember that? He's a state DA. He's trying to take a state misdemeanor and wire work it into implicating an attempt to violate the law in a federal felony. So he's going to have to prove the underlying misdemeanor in order to get to the federal. But then I don't know that I've ever seen this happen before. How do you have a state crime, a misdemeanor, what they would call a lesser included crime? How do you have this inchoate crime at the state level become a federal? It's just, but that's how we get Trump. That's how we get him. That's how we're going to get him. JT Lacey Springs says, if the judge should dismiss the trial, would that not be a slap to the prosecution? You think? Yeah, bro, that would be a major slap. That would not just be a slap. That would be a nuclear bomb. But the whole thing is a laughingstock. It really is. Hey, by the way, so here's, how much time have I got? Am I going to get into this much? There's a lot of questions about Michael Cohen's testimony. So I can give you Pundit Phil and I can give you Lawyer Phil. I'll give you both. Pundit Phil says, that was the most jackleg thing I've ever seen. Pundit Phil could say, what a goat rodeo. Out there herding cats and roping goats. This is just unbelievable. Michael Cohen, I mean, did he ride to court in a clown car? This is just unbelievable. Did you see the giant red shoes he wore when he walked up there to the stand? That's who we're talking about, Michael Cohen. Who put that witness on? So I can pundit that all day long. Lawyer Phil, let me step back, be a little more, I don't know, moderate in my approach. I will say this. His credibility is shot. It is, for a variety of reasons. I'll go into them more after the break. But here's the thing. That credibility question winds up going more to what they call the weight of his testimony as opposed to the admissibility. Some folks would look at it and go, why are they even letting him testify? Why is he allowed to testify? He's already shot his credibility. Well, no, it doesn't work that way. The testimony was otherwise admissible. Now, there are certain things the judge will say, we're not going to talk about that. That's unrelated to the topic at hand. And some of the things they let, you know, what's her name, Stormy Daniels testify, were salacious and had nothing to do with the case. They were just allowed in, and it shouldn't have been. But in this case, Michael Cohen's testimony, all of it, to my knowledge, was considered admissible, but the question is going to be really one of a question of fact for the jury. Did it go to the weight of his testimony? Did it seek to prove the crime and then, you know, beyond a reasonable doubt, actually prove the crime? That's where we are right now. I'm going to come back and break this thing down for you. We got a little more to do on this. Trump trials and errors. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all of the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two. Text from John from Lexington, South Carolina. He says, maybe the judge will direct or execute a directed verdict to protect himself from going to judicial review and losing his job. Yeah, maybe. I mean, and that's a point. You know, the judge, they're bound. Judicial review, I think, is the New York term. In Alabama, we call it the JIC, the Judicial Inquiry Commission, I believe it's called. That's the group that actually holds judges accountable for bad behavior. He says they embarrass President Trump, now walk away before the back blast hits them. Maybe. It's, I don't know, man. Bob from Athens says, how much of the presentation was actually done by Bragg? I don't know the answer to that. I don't think that Bragg, I don't know. I'll be honest with you, I don't know. That's a great question. I don't think he actually headed things up in the courtroom. Let me jump onto the phones over there. Is that Jeffro? Jeffro from Indiana. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing real good now. After sitting at the Falkville for 2 hours waiting on trailer, I'm moving north. I'm in Tennessee.
All right. Getting in that right lane, moving forward.
That's right. I'm in that right lane.
Well, what do you think about all this this Trump trial with today? I mean, we're going to know next week, maybe, where this thing stands.
You know, this is doing a lot to make me not trust the judicial system at all.
Yeah.
Because Trump might as well be Jewish and Hamas might as well be trying him, because that's the mindset. You're in New York where, you know, hardly nobody voted for him and everything and stuff, and then you got a judge whose daughter's making millions of dollars off of this thing,
yeah.
But he's not biased. And the only way he can say it, you know, what is crazy to me that a judge that is biased has to recuse himself instead of somebody else putting him off the trial. That just doesn't. We're going to have to change the laws or do something, because that only goes to if your judge is an actual truthful.
Well,
this guy's lying because he can't be. He's biased.
Well, it's not always that way. The judge can do what's called ruling sua sponte, which means of his own accord he can rule to recuse himself for things that we couldn't have known. Like, we may not know that somebody's his second cousin on the prosecution team. You know, we may not know that kind of stuff. But then you can also, the defense can make a motion to recuse. And there's two things I don't know for a fact whether they happened. One is, did the defense ever make a motion to recuse? And I think they did in this case, and it was denied. Mm-hmm. And then I think there's also an opportunity there to move for a transfer of venue, move it to a different location, take it out of downtown New York City where the jury pool is going to be tainted, and get it up to, I don't know, Buffalo or someplace, and see if they can try the case there. I believe they tried that too, and I think that was also denied.
Yeah, because the same biased judge is the one who makes those decisions.
Yeah,
yeah. Fixes in. So it's like, you know, it's like you say, you're trying your brother or whatever. You know, I can be impartial for that. Yeah, right.
Well,
that's basically what you got.
Every one of those are now some of those things were pretrial. They would have to have been appealed in the pretrial setting. But almost everything else, once the trial kicks off, You can appeal as you go on some things, and other things are just racking up your list of reasons for appeal. We'll wait and see.
Also, I mean,
I just can't help but wonder how the judge is going to – did the judge sit in the courtroom and truthfully say to himself, well, they've proven the crime. I don't know that he did. I'm not privy to everything, but from the outside looking in, it does not appear so.
Let me clue you in. The judge don't care. This is a political thing. This is not anything about justice. This is taking Trump out because the judge is a Democrat. And I wonder how much collusion is between, you got one of the prosecutors on Bragg's team, this former DOJ.
Yeah.
So I wonder how much collusion and communications have been going on between the White House, or at least the DOJ, and all everything going on, because this is just, This is worse than a banana republic. This is a banana republic in plain sight of the United States.
It boggles the mind. I mean, I look at this and think it's an embarrassment. The world is watching this and going. And I'll tell you who else is watching this. Not just the world, but like businesses in New York who actually, you know, have their headquarters there. Some of the things that have happened to Trump in New York juries have got business communities just like up in arms, like, can we even afford to stay here? This is the way they're going to treat people. So I don't know, man. More to come on it, but it's a dog and pony show, that's for sure.
But overturning now you talk about going to appellate judges.
Yeah.
Now your appellate judges are going to be Democrat too in New York. You think every the fix is in, because you've got, it's like I say, it's like if you're Jewish and you're everybody that's trying to use Hamas, you're not going to get a fair shake no matter how you look at it.
Yeah, and one thing I can't answer for you right now, because I don't know the answer to it, is if they are also trying, though, to prove that this is tied to a federal crime, then I would think the Supreme Court of the United States would have a bite at this apple, potentially. Or at the very least, whatever the federal district court circuits, I mean, the circuit in that area is, would have a right to consider this. I don't know, man. Right now, I'm still trying to work through how weedy this trial was.
Yeah, but how far down the line would judgment from the Supreme Court be past the election, I'm sure?
Yeah, but
they're just wanting to get in, you know.
That's the other thing. Do they just want to embarrass him? Do they just want to get an indictment? I mean, not an indictment, but a conviction, so they can just ride that thing all the way to through the election process. We need this judge to do his job. Exactly what they want to do. All right, man, I got to go. I got to finish up some more material here.
All right, have a good one, Phil.
All right, see you, buddy. Bye. Let me run through a few more things just so y'all know some stuff that happened. There's actually a very interesting tie to Alabama that came out of a story in Newsweek today. Joyce Vance is a former U.S. attorney, Northern District of Alabama, right here in the Huntsville area. Joyce Vance apparently, and I got to find it now because I didn't know she did, but she has a blog called the Civil Discourse blog, and she wrote comments that Judge Juan Merchan had made, in her opinion, kind of tipped the hand on what the judge is thinking. I thought this was interesting, so I grabbed the article, Newsweek, and it points out that a hush money payment is not illegal. It's not. Falsifying business records is also a misdemeanor unless, and here's the unless part, it's done to conceal another crime. So in other words, it becomes what they call a lesser included crime. It's like stacking, you know, dominoes. You have to get through one to get to the other. If you don't convict of the lesser included crime, then the other crimes couldn't have happened. But if you can convict of those, then you may get to the other crimes. So Judge Merchan apparently said at some point, the prosecution did not need to prove that Trump committed additional crimes. I'm like, what? Says like campaign finance or tax violations. Instead, it must show only that Trump intended to commit or conceal other crimes. And I find this interesting. I don't know how that could be because it's like conspiracy is a crime that is not necessarily conspiracy. You're not being convicted of the act of what you conspired to do. You're convicted of the act of conspiring to do it. So I see what they're saying here, but this is different. This is not a conspiracy. This is Trump, they're saying, was falsifying records in a violation of campaign finance. And they're saying here that Joyce Vance believes the judge has already said that they will not need to prove beyond a reasonable doubt the larger of the crimes. All they have to do is prove that he intended to do it. But how are they going to do that? He didn't testify. And to my knowledge, nobody has testified saying, well, Mr. Trump asked me to make sure that I did this to fix the issues related to his campaign. And I don't think that's been said. Anyway, Merchan apparently also said, you must remember the people, that's the prosecutor, the people are not required to prove these offenses beyond a reasonable doubt. Therefore, that reduces the need or the burden to define every term. That would be interesting. How about this? Nah, I'm going to skip that story. I've already done enough of that. How about this? There was a whole situation. I've never seen this happen before. Talk about part of the goat rodeo. In fact, Alan Dershowitz just wore this situation out. Alan Dershowitz in Red State said that what he's looking at right now with the way that Judge Merchan recently treated one of the witnesses was absolutely absurd. It was an outrage. It was something that he has never seen before in all his years. Judge Merchan, Daily Wire, actually cleared the courtroom because he was mad at a witness. I've never seen this. Now, I've seen the judge instruct a witness. I've seen the judge instruct a witness to settle down or to answer the question or to review the document. Ma'am, you're going to have to answer, that kind of thing. I've seen the judge actually question. The judges are allowed to do that at times. They're allowed to question a witness for clarification. Are you saying this? Yes, I am. All right, thank you. However, what we had here was the judge got mad because he felt like he wasn't being respected. The judge wasn't being respected by the witness. The witness was getting irritated. The witness was Costello. He's a former attorney for Michael Cohen himself. The judge was ticked because Costello was not real patient with the judge constantly sustaining the objections of the prosecution to the point that he was rolling his eyes. He was like, okay. And then he rolled it again. He was like, jeez. And then he rolled it, and then something else was sustained, and he's like, this is ridiculous. Well, the judge could hear it, and the judge was mad. And the judge, instead of saying, I'm going to instruct you now to keep yourself under control, he didn't do that. He cleared the whole courtroom. He took the jury out. And he basically just wore out this witness, Costello, which I find to be prejudicial. That's like intimidating a witness. It also, by the way, removed the jury from the sight of the judge for a few minutes in terms of the whole thing was just weird. And the judge apparently, though, like some were able to hear it, said, I want to discuss proper decor in my courtroom. Don't you give me a side eye. Don't you roll your eyes. If you don't like my ruling, you don't say geez. You don't say strike it. Costello then held a long stare at the judge, and the judge said, are you staring me down? And then he said, clear the courtroom. And he apparently proceeded to just dress down the witness. Y'all, this is not normal behavior. It's not. Not normal behavior at all. I could go into more, but I think I've lawyered this thing enough for you. But the bottom line is this. We're going to know next week where we stand. Right now, they're doing the charge conference. Right now, they're going to decide what law the jury will be instructed on should it go to a jury. But the question remains, has the prosecution, to the judge's satisfaction, made their case? Have they made it sufficient enough to go to the jury so the jury can weigh the facts and the evidence and determine whether something actually did happen? The judge could actually say next week, gentlemen, the people have not made their case. The elements of the crime are this, this, and this, and you did not, to my satisfaction, prove those as a matter of law. Therefore, I cannot let it go to the jury because I believe everything else is just prejudicial. He could do that. He could. Will he? Look at his track record. I don't know. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back and change the topics. We're going to number two. We're going to get international for a minute. Stuff happening out of Iran, it's worth knowing. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, wow. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. Devin from Brownsboro says, it seems to me the only charges that should be filed against should be against Michael Cohen. He admitted to larceny on the stand in front of a judge. By the way, did I not get into that? I didn't, did I? Holy cow. Okay, you know what? I can't leave this segment yet. I got it. I had a whole stack of stuff that included that. I think I moved past something. All right, so Devin, you're bringing me back to a point. He says he admitted larceny on the stand in front of the judge. Also, is the judge telling the defense that their expert witness federal election crimes being muzzled, not denying Trump a fair trial? I would agree. I think it's, at the very least, I think it's appealable. By removing everyone from the courtroom, that he's also denying Trump a fair public trial as well as not. So, and then what is your philosophy? All right, so two things. Michael Cohen. Did I throw that story away? Hang on a second. I got to dig back through the trash now. Hang on. Where'd it go? My gosh. Did I not do that? I didn't. How did I miss the story? Okay, here's the deal. Michael Cohen, the star witness, got on the stand, and when he was being cross-examined by Todd Blanche, who is Trump's lead attorney, who apparently has done a bang-up job in this case, Trump's attorney, he said, basically, here's the deal. Todd Blanche, Trump's attorney, got up there. Michael Cohen's on the stand. He looked at him and said, you stole from the Trump organization, right? Cohen didn't even blink. He said, yes, sir. What? Okay, stop. This is like a My Cousin Vinny moment right now. This is like, you know, just got posi traction. You know what I'm saying? That's where we are right now. My Cousin Vinny. It was the moment where you look at it, and I think everybody in the courtroom sat back and goes, wait, did we know that? Has that been a thing? Cohen testified that he was mad that he had not gotten the year-end bonus from the Trump administration he thought he would. So he decided to up some of the invoices for things he was paying for in order to make more money for himself. Literally. To the tune of $30,000 on one of them. He billed the Trump administration $50,000 for what he paid another company $20,000 for. Kept the $30,000. It's unconscionable. No wonder the guy went to jail. But it wasn't for this. Well, this is all coming out now. He's on the stand admitting under oath that he has now stolen from the person that he is trying to send to jail for a misdemeanor paperwork issue. And the question was then asked, have you paid back the Trump organization for the money you stole from them? No, sir. He even lied to the Trump CFO. When he turned in his invoices, the question was asked, so you lied, Weisselberg was the Trump CFO. So you lied to Weisselberg about how much you needed for this, you know, this invoice? And the answer was yes. It's just unbelievable to me. So is he, now again, what else did he, these are the sensational things that happened in the trial. But we're going to find out later on that did not destroy his admissibility, but it did, in my opinion, destroy his credibility. So if the judge lets it go to the jury then gets to consider whether or not it was a bias, whether or not there was a revenge factor in Cohen, whether or not Trump or Cohen even said something that was damaging. If the judge decides enough was said by Cohen and others, if enough evidence was provided, whether it be testimonial or documentary evidence, then it's going to go to the jury. The judge may look at it and decide that we have a mistrial, but he's not. The judge may look at it and decide we have a directed verdict, but he might. But the judge is more likely, in my opinion, to let it go to a jury, let the jury be the one who sorts it out and has to live with it. And then the anonymous jurors can choose whether to be made public or not. All right, enough of that. We're coming right back. I'm going to jump into Dipper number 2, The Butcher of Iran. You'll stay tuned. We will be right back.